Welcome, everybody, to the next edition of Three Up, Three Down. We're less than a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting. We had to talk a little baseball before they do report, though. Big news coming all over Major League Baseball the past couple weeks. But first, let me introduce my baseball roundtable associates once again for this week, starting it off with Jeremy Dorn.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back.
Kicking it over to Angelo Felicia.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Over to Brian Boynton.
Hello, everyone.
And last but not least, KP Kurt Peter.
Hey, hey, hey.
And my name, Brian Mapes, your host. And we're going to start it off with the news today that Cardinals pitcher Chris Carpenter is likely out for the season and possibly his career, a nerve injury in his shoulder numbness. He absolutely couldn't get anything right in bullpen sessions during the off season. The Cardinals announced today that he is likely done for the season. And of course, when big St. Louis news happens, we turn to our senior St. Louis correspondent. She is representing the St. Louis Cardinals in the top 52 for the 2013 Major League Baseball Fan Cave. She is Kelsey Shea. Kelsey, welcome back to Three Up, Three Down.
Hello. You make me sound awesome.
I try, because I'm going to make you talk bad news for you.
I know. So yeah, you're making me reach here. I don't want to talk about this.
Oh, I'm very sorry, but has to be done. 37-year-old Chris Carpenter, shoulder numbness. How worried are you about the St. Louis rotation being affected by this?
You know what? I mean, obviously, it's not the rotation we thought we had 24 hours ago. And that was one of the things I was really, really excited about for the 2013 season, was having hopefully a healthy Waino and a healthy Carp at the same time, because that hasn't happened in a long time. So it's a huge disappointment. I'm not going to say that it isn't. It's going to be interesting to see if some of our younger guys can step up. You know, we've got Shelby Miller, we've got Rosenthal, and luckily they're young, but we were able to put them in a postseason situation, so they know what pressure feels like. So hopefully our depth will keep us going.
Now, there is one player still sitting out there on free agents, Mr. Mm-hmm. Kyle Loesch. Do you think the Cardinals might bring him back with some veteran experience that they desperately need with Carpenter out? I mean, it's going to be tough to roll in the rotation with three young guys in Joe Kelly, Trevor Rosenthal, and Shelby Miller.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That was one of the first things I thought when I heard the news is, okay, so I guess we're going to go after Loesch again. I would not be disappointed at all. I was disappointed that it seemed like he wasn't going to be coming back to the Cardinals. So I would love to have him back for 2013. I do think he would provide a veteran presence, and he's been one of our biggest win leaders the past couple of years. So I do think that is much more of a possibility than it was a few days ago, and I would be very happy with that.
No word yet on if Chris Carpenter will retire. There's still some things in the contract that it might be beneficial for both the Cardinals and Chris Carpenter to not say anything about the word retirement. So if this is the end of Chris Carpenter's career, he has the 2005 NL Cy Young Award. He has the great postseason record. What would you remember most about Chris Carpenter as a Cardinals fan?
Yeah, obviously this was a question that was floating around a lot today. And I have two moments. Well, three, I guess. One's more of a personal moment. I'll give you the ones on the mound first. I really think the end of 2012 was really memorable, just because everybody counted him out for the season, you know, and for him to come back and pitch it felt so good for Cardinal Nation, and especially for him to pitch in such conditions as having just had surgery and just lost a rib. So I think that says a lot about him. So that's one of my favorite moments. And then also, who could forget that 2011 Game 5 NLDS versus the Phillies. Amazing, amazing performance. And I think that and the Cy Young will always be two of his best moments on the mound. And then a little personal story. I'll always remember in high school, I got to give him a high five, and I pretty much freaked out. So it was a lot of fun when I got to meet him last year, and I was just thinking back to that moment. So I'll always remember him for those moments, too.
All right. Finally, like we acknowledged before, Kelsey Shea is in the top 52 for the Major League Baseball Fan Cave, representing the Cardinals. There are two other Cardinals fans in the top 52. Safe to say she is the prettiest one of them all. Kelsey,
you're too kind.
Plug your stuff. How can Cardinals fans support you?
All right. Well, first of all, you can vote MLBFanCave.com. Vote for me as many times as you want until February 13th. I'd appreciate each and every one. Follow me on Twitter at KelseyShea11 and like my Facebook page, facebook.com/KelseyShea MLB Fan Cave.
All right, that's Kelsey Shea once again. Moving on to Mapes got Justin Upton. Mapes got BJ Upton. I got all the Uptons.
Not Kate, so suck on.
Ricky Mess had Kate Upton. It's close enough, right?
Another Braves.
Braves connections to all the Uptons. Maybe Upton Sinclair, too. But, of course, the Braves trading for Justin Upton. They pick up the former All-Star from the Arizona Diamondbacks along with third baseman Chris Johnson. Kind of like that little symmetry there. The Braves replacing a third baseman with the initial CJ with a third baseman with the initial CJ. If he is anything remotely like Chipper Jones, I will be so, 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 so happy. But that's a pipe dream. Going back to Arizona, Martin Prado, the big shock of that trade is Braves fans were like, okay, we got Justin Upton. This is great. Wait, we gave up Martin Prado? Oh no. Why did we do that? They would have loved to have kept them. The Braves, looking for team control, 3 years of team control on Justin Upton compared to just one for Martin Prado. They also send over starting pitcher Randall Delgado and three prospects, shortstop prospect Nick Ahmed, Zeke Spruill, and Brandon Drury. Spruill and pitcher and Drury, a single A infielder, plays first base and third base. Guys are going to go open up to everybody. You know how I feel about the trade. I'm so excited. I will miss Martin. I will say Martin Prado is a fantastic player, and we're going to miss him in Atlanta. But to get a player with the potential of Upton and put both of the Upton brothers together and have them feed off each other, it's an exciting time. What do you think about the trade, and who won the trade in your mind? We'll start it off with Angelo.
I don't think either team could really be said as won the trade. I think they both fared well with it. Justin just, it was his time in Arizona, time to leave. You know, he had some quarrels with Skip. From time to time, and they just didn't really see eye to eye. So I think it's really good for the Braves having both Uptons together, and they will feed off each other, and there'll be that huge competition. I mean, there was some silly stat that I remember seeing last year where not only did they hit their 100th home run on the same day, but it was maybe even their 50th or something like that as well, or something like that. Maybe, I'm sure you know the correct stat, but I think they're almost one and the same, and they're both really solid baseball players, and just hopefully it pans out for you. Giving up Prado is a lot for the infield, but, you know, got to do what you got to do.
Jeremy, over to you. Your thoughts on the Braves and Diamondbacks deal.
Well, it's also – I'm also going to have a little trouble deciding a winner, just like you, Angelo, but I think if I have to pick one for now, I'm going to go with your boys, Mapes, just because of the ridiculousness of that lineup for the next few years. You know, with that outfield, the defense, speed, power, average, combined potential they have is just off the charts. You know, presuming they all stay healthy, that's going to be a really, really tough lineup to top. And, you know, they already have pretty good starting pitching in place. They have a good rotation, pretty good bullpen. And, you know, knowing the Braves, they're going to bring up some more pitching talent from the minors over these next few years. And it's just kind of their MO. So, yeah, I think you guys have won it for now. I think Chris Johnson's an underrated pickup at third. Obviously, he's no Chipper Jones, but he's going to do some things over there. That being said, I do think the Diamondbacks got a pretty big haul in return. They already re-signed Prado, so that's a big move, and they're looking really dangerous in my division in the NL West, so can't count them out at all.
I loved everything you said there. I want to marry everything you just said. Guys, next person to say nice things about the Braves. Brian, go.
Okay, well, I'll say some nice things about the Braves. Okay, they went solely because of that meme that came out that said Upton here, Upton here. I think that's the greatest MLB meme that's ever come out. So they win solely based off that alone. Now, their lineup is going to be really good, but their outfield is also probably going to lead Major League Baseball in strikeouts. Those three guys are going to strike out more than almost probably every team in baseball. Because I know B.J. Upton led the American League in strikeouts last year. Hayward was pretty close to top in the NL last year, and I think Justin Upton was as well. Now, they're all going to hit for a decent average. They're all going to mash home runs. They're all going to give you good defense, but they're all going to strike out a lot. So they're going to leave a lot of guys on base. But that lineup is very good, and they get that meme, so they win in my mind.
KP, over to you. What are your thoughts on the Braves and D-backs dealing?
I don't know. I think that players like Martin Prado, I don't want to say are a dime a dozen, but I don't think that he's going to change the game or change the framing of the Diamondbacks as much as the Uptons are going to change the outfield of Atlanta. So that's just how I feel. I mean, an infielder is an infielder. Yeah, there's good ones and there's bad ones. I mean, Derek Jeter is one of the best, and I don't think Martin Prado's close to that. He's probably just an average guy, but I think having three really fast guys in the outfield is going to be just incredible. I mean, any ball that gets hit in the air has probably like an 80% chance getting caught or higher. So I think that may make up for some of the errors that they bring to the plate or their shortcomings for some reason. But otherwise, I think both teams kind of won, and they both got what they needed, and we'll see how it plays out.
Diamondbacks looking for quote-unquote gritty players, and if there's a player that defines gritty, it's Martin Prado. So they do out well with that. Prado does get paid, though. 4 years, $40 million. No more arbitration for Martin Prado. He'll be sticking around in the desert for the next 4 years. Going over to our next little bit, reports came out today, more names released in the entire Anthony Bosch saga down in Miami. Ryan Braun's name appears. He released a statement afterwards saying that he has no connection with PEDs, and he used Anthony Bosch for consultation on his appeal. KP, you're the Brewers fan. I'm going to throw this one over to you. What's the deal with Ryan Braun? How are we continuing to still believe him on this one?
Well, one, he's a very trustworthy guy. Two, I knew this was going to be an awful thing. I mean, I instantly jumped. I thought, like, where can I see public opinions right away? And I went to Reddit to see the baseball blog to see, like, whatever article came up first, and everyone's like, I knew it. You can't dodge the bullet forever, and blah, 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 cheater and everything. But, I mean, he released a statement pretty much right after that. I was sitting at a trivia thing, and I saw it on the TV, and literally, like, 30 minutes later, I was getting texts from friends and was like, oh, he just released a statement. I mean, none of the other guys have done that. Granted, all of them have been accused and found guilty of using steroids. So he released a statement that said he was in touch with them throughout the trial for his last encounter with PEDs. And, I mean, I believe him, but then again, I'm a Brewers fan.
Two other players were announced in that Jeff Passan Yahoo Sports article, Francisco Cervelli and Danny Valencia. We are going to just wait until more facts come out before we really delve into this. There is more to this story, I'm sure, than meets the eye on everything about it. So it's going to take a while for everything to come out. So let's go back to the other trade talk. Jed Lowrie is leaving Houston. This is a nice little upgrade, huh? Jed Lowrie leaving Houston and getting to go from the last place team in the NL Central and now AL West, essentially, to the Oakland Athletics, the AL West champions. In exchange, the Astros will get Chris Carter and Brad Peacock. I feel like every trade involves Brad Peacock. I swear he's been traded 36 times since the start of last season. Funny Brad Peacock story, though. He was actually driving to spring training and got traded and had to turn around and go back west because Oakland's spring training facility is in Arizona. And he was in Mississippi on his way to Florida for the Grapefruit League. Guys, what do you think about this trade of Lowrie for Carter? And the Astros continue to keep looking to get worse so they can get better in the future. Start off with KP, the NL Central guy. How am I going to phrase this? Do you agree with the Astros strategy of having basically right now a $25 million payroll if it's going to pay off for them in 4 years?
Just based on their current history of what they've been doing, I almost think they need like a clean reset. If they can just reset everything, get their prospects built up, get some experience for a ton of guys on the field as far as I'm concerned in the next few years, figure out what works, figure out what doesn't work, which is what they've been doing. Cut Carlos Lee as soon as possible. You know, just clean house a little bit, get rid of the old guys, bring in some young guys, show the NL Central what you got.
Jeremy, going to go over to you. You're half an A's fan. That's your American League team. What are your thoughts on Jed Lowrie coming to the Bay Area?
You know, it made sense to me. I was still a little bit surprised because Chris Carter was really starting to develop major league power last year when he was up. Fans love Chris Carter in Oakland, but it's a pretty well-known fact around here that Billy Beane has been madly in love with Jed Lowrie for a long, long time. So I'm sure he was pursuing it, you know, all winter long, probably for longer than that. And, you know, he got the guy he wanted. He got a reliever out of it. He got, you know, he got a good, solid shortstop that they've kind of been cycling through in recent years. You know, they started a few different guys there last year. They didn't really find anyone that stuck. So I think it's going to turn out to be a pretty good move as long as Lowrie stays healthy, which is a huge as long as there because he has had major injury issues in the past. But yeah, I mean, that's the move that Billy wanted. Hard to doubt him, especially after years like 2012. I think that it will turn out well for the A's, and I think the Astros get a couple of nice pieces in return.
All right, KP had the NL Central knowledge of the Astros, but now they're heading to the AL West, and that is Brian Boynton's territory. What are your thoughts on Astros and Athletics making an interdivision deal?
Well, these trades the last few years have worked well for both teams. Really, I mean, remember 2010, Cliff Lee was traded from the Mariners to the Rangers. That worked out well for the Rangers, and it worked out well for the Mariners as well. This trade should work out well for both teams. I mean, the Astros are building for the future, and how much worse can they really get next year? They were already pretty bad. Losing Jed Lowry, I mean, he's a good player. He's going to be a good player. But he's not enough to make up for their shortcomings. Whereas Chris Carter's not isn't going to make up for their shortcomings either. But now that they're in the American League, he's not a great defensive first baseman. He is a good power hitter, though. So he will fill their role voided by Carlos Lee as a DH slash first baseman, which I think he'll fill really well. And Max Stassi, however you say his name, I think he's going to be pretty good. And then, like you said, Brad Peacock is getting traded a lot, so there's something to him. But I think that the Astros are going to be – I don't think they're going to be any better next year. But 3 or 4 years from now, if they can keep that payroll low, keep all these guys, they can make some noise in a couple years when they think that their team's really well off in their way.
All right, Angelo, you and me are the only ones that don't really have a connection to this trade. You got anything on this one?
No. I mean, I just think that the Astros are crazy for just dumping everybody. But, hey, if it's going to be $25 million for 1 year, I guess it's worth it financially.
Yeah, I'll just say I like Jed Lowry. A sneaky little 15-15 guy, potentially. Good little pickup for Oakland. They always have good pickups. Billy Bean, why are you so smart? So handsome. All right, going over to the next bit of news. Jurickson Profar announces that he is out of the World Baseball Classic, joining Chris Medlin, who is out for Team USA. Profar will be not playing for the Netherlands. Brian, Rangers fans, not sure what to do with Profar. You see that the infield is taken up by Elvis Andrus and Ian Kinsler. Profar bowed out of the WBC in order to help himself make the team, he said. What do you think Jurickson Profar needs to do to make the Texas Rangers squad?
Well, it's not what he needs to do. It's what needs to happen. The infield set, I mean, unless Ian Kinsler is willing to go to first base, which would put Profar at second base, I don't see him being on the Major League roster. There's just no place to put him because he's too good and too young to be a utility player. They could set him back 3 years doing that with him because he'll play once a week. You don't want to do that, so you want to start him in AAA, but he's too good to be in AAA. But if this whole Nelson Cruz thing, which we're not even going to get into because he may not get suspended, so it's kind of a moot point at that point. But if he does end up getting suspended, Mitch Moreland was drafted as an outfielder. So you can put Mitch Moreland in right field, move Kinsler to first base. You don't want Berkman playing the field very often because he's almost strictly a DH at this point in his career, which would put Kinsler at first. Then you can put Profar at second. But I don't see that happening because, I mean, they already have three really young, well, not young because Gentry and Murphy aren't young, but they got Leonis Martin, Craig Gentry, David Murphy in the outfield right now. And those guys aren't going to get hurt. So they should be fine, but I just don't see it. I see both him and Mike Olt starting this season in AAA.
The other player that I mentioned, Chris Medlin, bowed out of the WBC in order to be with his wife while she had their first child. I am happy to report that baby Meds is with us in the world, giving birth tonight. Let's see, what was yesterday's date? Because it's after midnight now. February 5th, Max Michael Medlin joins the world. So, well, give him a little time with the baby. Let's see if he wants to rejoin Team USA. I'm sure they would love to bring him back. I posted a blog the other day, the top free agents that are still available. One huge name and one name that we've already talked about a little bit, Kyle Loesch, but I want to get everybody else's thoughts. Where do you guys think Michael Bourne and Kyle Loesch end up this season? We're under a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting, and Kyle Loesch still doesn't have a team. We're a week and a half away from full team workouts, and Michael Bourne, who was a top 10, some list a top 5 free agent this offseason, is still waiting for a team to join. Where do you think these guys end up? We'll start it off with Angelo.
Ooh. Okay, I think Michael Bourne, I think he's going to stay in the National League, and if I had to pick a team, I'm going to go with the Mets. I just think they have a good need for him, and it's in a market that can be big. I've seen that as big as the Yankees, but I think the Mets. And with Carlos, for some reason, I just have this feeling that the Cubs are going to make an offer for him, just because they've always had an attempt at signing a pitcher that seems to be good on paper, but then just sometimes just doesn't get it done, a la like maybe like Matt Garza. Even though he did pitch well for him, I don't feel that it's maybe up to the Cubs, I guess, what should I say, the Cubs, like, performance level, maybe. I'm not sure. That's my thought.
The Mets are interested in Michael Bourne, but there is, they would have to lose their first round pick as it stands right now, which is the 11th pick in the draft. A lot of controversy there as the Mets were in the top 10 and were bumped out of the top 10 as the Pirates could not sign their first round pick last year, Mark Appel. So that dropped the Mets to pick 11, which means they would lose the 11th pick in the draft. If they signed Michael Bourne, that pick would go to the Atlanta Braves. So even worse, an interdivision swap there. The Mets have put in trying to exchange their second round pick instead if they have signed Michael Bourne, but nothing on that has come yet, as Mets fans hope that that would work out. David Wright has come out and said he wants Bourne in Queens. Gonna go over to KP. Where do Bourne and Loesch end up?
Yikes. I would think that I don't disagree with the Mets, but then again, they need just about everything, so that's kind of Bourne would fit well. I think Bourne would fit well in, I don't know, he'd fit well in a lot of teams. He's fast. Who doesn't want a base stealer? But it's hard to say. I don't follow like all 30 teams like pinched closely together and know who needs what at all times, so I can't necessarily pick one, but I think he could be a big game changer in the Nationals for the Nationals. That would be an interesting proposition. And as for Loesch, yeah, I don't disagree with Angelo's Cubs one either. They love picking from NL Central pitchers, and I guess so do the Brewers. So I guess the Brewers also could be an option for Kyle Loesch. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not positive, but that's my thoughts.
Sounds good. Going to go over to Brian. Where do you think Michael Bourne and Kyle Loesch land?
Well, I would really love to see Michael Bourne come to Texas, but only because we need an outfielder. But John Daniels really doesn't like giving up first-round picks, and both of them would require losing a first-round pick. So I kind of agree with everybody on Loesch going to the Cubs, but I could see the Red Sox, it seems, every year sign a pitcher. And I know they got Ryan Dempster this year, but, yeah, I don't know if he's just – I think Kyle Loesch is still a little better at this point in his career. And Red Sox, again, with Michael Bourne. Jacoby Ellsbury's in the last year of his career. He had an injury-plagued season last year. They're looking to trade him as it is if they're out of it. Why not just get Michael Bourne, push some competition, put Jacoby Ellsbury in left field or right field where he's not going to have to run as much, put as much strain on his knees, let Michael Bourne cover that ground. And if he's not doing it, trade him for the trade deadline. I can see both of them ending up with the Red Sox, but I don't know.
All right, going to go over to Jeremy. Where do you think Bourne and Loesch end up?
Well, I'll start with Bourne, and I'm also leaning towards the Mets based on them being the most rumored team, I guess, recently. But I think that one team that could be interesting that was kind of being discussed a little while ago is the Mariners. I know that they probably don't want to give up that pick either, and they have a couple of guys that can play center, and Michael Saunders and Franklin Gutierrez, but they're so close on offense to becoming that, you know, that overall team that they haven't been for so many years. And, you know, Mariners fans probably just hope that if they were to sign him, that he doesn't turn out like the last speedy leadoff outfielder they signed to a long-term deal, because Sean Figgins was a disaster. But, you know, that could be a potential landing spot. I do think in the end, Bourne ends up in New York as a Met. I think he's going to have to drop his price significantly, and I think if he doesn't get signed here in a couple of weeks, he's he will, because there's going to be no other options. Same thing goes for Kyle Loesch. I think that he, you know, he's asking for too much. He's an older pitcher, and even though he's been putting up huge seasons in St. Louis over the last few seasons, you know, teams like the Orioles or the Cubs even, you know, one of those teams that needs starting pitching and has at least looked into that kind of option, they're not going to want to give up a pick and give an older pitcher a three-year deal or something like that. So my pick, I actually think Loesch will end up as a Baltimore Oriole. I think they know that they need the starting pitching. I think they're going to get him for a lot less than he's asking for. You know, I don't think it's going to be a one-year deal like they'd prefer, but I think he will settle for maybe a two-year deal for decent money. And I think the Orioles are going to take that plunge, and I think it's going to be a great move. Don't know if it'll pay off in the playoff hunt, but it's going to make them a better team for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you on Loesch. I had him going to the Orioles, but that was before the Chris Carpenter news. I think the Cardinals will look into Loesch, but I think that the Orioles are still pretty desperate for pitching, that they'll give Kyle Loesch a look, and he might end up in Baltimore. Michael Bourne, I had said I think he ends up on the Mariners. They're so desperate for offense, and they've been going for any offense they can, trading for Michael Morse this offseason, and Michael Bourne would be such an upgrade offensively over Franklin Gutierrez, provide almost the same defensive excellence as Gutierrez. I thought a couple days ago that it was the Mariners, but now seeing this David Wright trying to encourage Michael Bourne to come to New York, I think he's going to end up in Citi Field. Going to go over to our next segment here. The MLB Network is having a bracket of all 30 teams. They picked one player from each team. Unfortunately for Angelo, that means Miguel Cabrera and Justin Verlander can't both be in the competition to be the face of MLB. It's kind of funny that the reigning AL MVP is not in the face of MLB competition. But they took Verlander instead. So we're going to see who the 3U3D panelists think is the real face of MLB right now. We'll start it off. Well, might as well start off with Angelo, who has the Tigers controversy of them taking Verlander over Cabrera.
Okay, so as far as that controversy goes, I think that when it comes to the face of the MLB, and no disrespect to anybody or any player, but I don't think you can take somebody that speaks very little English. So I think Verlander is a better choice in this scenario between those two. And really, yeah, I know it's a homer thing to say, but I think Verlander wouldn't be a bad face of Major League Baseball. I think he's getting prepped to sign maybe the biggest contract on a year-to-year basis, maybe in Major League Baseball history. So he might just be the best player in the game right now.
Going to go over to Brian. Who do you think is the face of MLB?
Well, I would love to say it's Ian Kinsler, but I still don't think Ian Kinsler is a face of the Rangers, so how can he be face of the MLB? There's a lot of great players on this list. I would have to go, I mean, either Giancarlo Stanton for the future of baseball. Might be Giancarlo and Mike Trout may be the faces for the future. But right now I could see David Wright because he stayed in New York. He could have left. He's everything that MLB would want to push fans to idolize, a guy who stayed with his hometown team. But it's between them and Buster Posey, I would think, right now.
Jeremy, over to you. Who do you think is the face of MLB?
You know what? I think, Brian, that Trout's actually going to take right down in the opening round here. I think that, you know, I don't think that Trout mania has worn off from last season. I don't think it should, and I don't think it will for a long time. I think when we talk about, you know, you take into account overall skill, you know, the flashiness, the notoriety in the media, as well as the fan base that's going to be voting for their hometown guy. You know, I just don't think guys like Stanton, as awesome as he is, I don't think that the Marlins fan base may be able to support with the numbers like the Angels fans will with Mike Trout. I think that Trout will go very deep and has a very good chance in this bracket to become the face of MLB.
I'm going to go with somebody who hasn't come up yet, and I think he is still the face of MLB, and that's Derek Jeter of the Yankees. I'm not a Yankee fan. You know what? I saw on Twitter that first round, Derek Jeter is against Jose Altuve, and there's such an uproar because people think it would be hilarious if Altuve can beat Derek Jeter that Derek Jeter might actually lose in this round. So that would be hilarious, but I think Derek Jeter is still the true face of Major League Baseball. He's the most recognizable face in Major League Baseball. There'll be time for Posey, and there'll be time for Verlander, and there'll be time for Mike Trout and Giancarlo Stanton and Jason Hayward down the road. Don't sleep on Jason Hayward winning this thing. Braves fans are crazy. They will vote their heart's content. I saw it in the Michael Bourne All-Star campaign last year. So don't sleep on Jason Hayward making a run in the face of MLB competition. KP, over to you. Who is your face of MLB?
Well, I've been looking at this little bracket thing here, and it looks like a lot of the rounds are picked, or six of the rounds have been picked already, and Ryan Braun is already out. Alas, the guy who got accused of doing steroids last year didn't win. I agree and disagree with all of your points, everybody. I think that some of the most recognizable faces, I can't deny Buster Posey, okay, whatever. Justin Verlander also up there. But I don't know. If you pick someone I think should be, and like the up and coming who will be a star forever and kind of Ryan Braun's counterpart when they showed up, I think that Evan Longoria should or has a good chance to. Unless you're going for beautiful, then you pick Joe Mauer, you know, because all the ladies love him. But, yeah, I mean, and Derek Jeter, you can't go wrong with that either. But I don't know. You can't pick a guy who's kind of like phasing out of Major League Baseball as he just got injured. But it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But I like Evan Longoria and Ryan Zimmerman.
Ryan Zimmerman being brought into the conversation there by KP. Of course, the face of MLB competition will be going on MLB.com and MLB Network. Use Twitter. They are using each name of each player as a hashtag to send the votes and coordinate who advances in the face of MLB competition. Last note for us. Four out of the five of us applied once again for the 2013 Major League Baseball Fan Cave. KP is saving himself from the competition this year. It was a mixed bag.
But still heavily involved. Don't get me wrong.
No. KP appeared in more application videos than anybody. It's kind of amazing. But a mixed bag for 3U3D. Angelo, Brian did not make the top 52. Me and Jeremy were lucky enough to represent our respective teams. Myself, the Braves, Jeremy, the Dodgers. Brian, Angelo, do you guys have anything to say on the Fan Cave competition this year?
Best of luck to you two guys. And, yeah. Sucks I didn't make it.
Yeah, I really hope both of you get the chance to go to New York City and represent yourselves well. I know you guys will represent yourselves well in general, and represent 3U3D. As far as the whole competition as a whole, I plead the fifth.
Yeah, what he said. And I want to do a podcast from the Fan Cave, so one of you two better make it.
Fair enough. I assure you, me and Jeremy will both try our best to make it all the way to New York City, but Jeremy, I'm going to give you an open floor here. Talk about what you've done so far with your campaign for the Fan Cave. Throw out the Twitter, throw out your Facebook page, throw out your Instagram. Give them the whole spiel. Give the people what they want for the fan cave voting.
What the people want? Oh, man. Well, thank you, Mapes, and congratulations to you as well. You know, hoping that at least one of us can represent our teams and, of course, three up, three down in the cave. That would be awesome, and I totally agree. If one of us makes it, we need to do some kind of podcast-related activity from New York City. But, yeah, so far, you know, it's just as crazy and stressful and nutty as always. But, you know, I've been working really hard on getting a lot of media attention, which has turned into a few blogs that will be released later this week. You know, I've gotten a podcast elsewhere. Not like that, guys. I didn't cheat on you. It's just a different opportunity for me. Yeah, and I've been doing a lot of my own content production, which is another thing I've, you know, kind of weighed heavily in my campaign to make it to the top 30. I've been doing the 30-day, 30-team preseason evaluation reports on Bleacher Report. I'm kind of just doing one per team and getting a lot of attention there, putting together some extra videos. I got to meet Tommy Lasorda and some other players at Dodgers Fan Fest, so that's going up soon. But, yeah, just having a good time trying to push myself into that top 30 again. So, yeah, just want to throw out my information here. Facebook is facebook.com/JeremyDornMLBFanCave if you want to follow along on there. Twitter is at JamblinMan, JAMBLINMAN. And same thing for Instagram, except with a 7 at the end, JamblinMan7. Follow all my fan cave exploits on there and hopefully help push myself and Mr. Mapes into the top 30.
Oh, we're going to push me into the top 30 now? Sounds fantastic. My Twitter is at IamMapes, M-A-P-E-S. That is also my Instagram handle. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/Mapes, the number 4, and Fan Cave. And my, I can't even imagine. It's been so overwhelming. My campaign has just, it's been fantastic since the top 50 announcement where just the support I've gotten from Braves fans on Twitter has been so phenomenal, and just getting tweets of people actually saying, I want to see a Brave in the cave again, and voting for me has just been incredible and even more awesome than I thought it was going to be. My campaign, I've focused on, I don't know, everything. I've put out extra videos. You can see me attempt to be a David Letterman style talk show host on my YouTube page, which is also youtube.com/mapesforfancave. I've put out voting challenges where to see how many times Braves fans can vote for me while watching their favorite plays in history. I'll have a new video of one of those coming out shortly. I've been hitting the media circuit hard. I committed podultry as well. I'm sorry, guys. I appeared on the Atlanta Baseball Talk podcast with 2012 Cave Dweller Ricky Mass. It was a lot of fun. You can go check that out on iTunes after you listen to this one, but you're at the end, so you've already downloaded and listened to most of it. So go listen to that one next if you want to hear about some shenanigans on that. Been hitting the morning shows, a couple of those. I have to drive an hour to New Haven, Connecticut tomorrow to try and score a web feature that might parlay itself into a TV story, as it's this thing called MyTV9, which is connected with WTNH, the ABC affiliate here in Connecticut, and just doing anything and everything. The lack of sleep has been completely worth it. It is so gratifying to represent Braves country in the top 52. And I know Jeremy feels the same way, bleeding Dodger blue in the top 52. So we would love if you could go vote for us. It's at MLBFanCave.com in the upper left-hand corner. Click vote. You can find us, Jeremy Dorn, Dodgers little logo. I am the only Braves fan in the top 52. I'm the only person from Connecticut in the top 52. And I know I'm a Braves fan in Connecticut. It makes no sense. But that's a story for another time. But that is going to do it for 3 Up, 3 Down for this episode. I'd like to once again thank my Baseball Roundtable associates for joining us once again. Brian Boynton, Angelo Felicia, Kurt Peter, Jeremy Dorn, my fellow top 52 goodness, and make sure you check out our blog. It's 3u3d.mlblogs.com. Me and Jeremy are tag teaming the second annual jersey draft, where we will each draft 10 jerseys that we think are the best investments for you. You can check out the show's Twitter at 3u3d. And of course, look us up on Facebook. It is 3 up, 3 down over there. All words, no numbers. That's going to do it for us. I'm sorry we ran out of time. Huh. We will get to Eddie Mata the next time.
Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here.